Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Let's make our way to our seats. Hallelujah. Welcome to Calvary Gospel. We're so excited that you are here worshiping with us. Amen. If this is your first time worshiping with you, worshiping with us, we want to connect with you. If you should have received an opportunity to fill out just a few points of information at the kiosk in the lobby, if you didn't have a chance, please head that way after service. Just a few points of information. We got a small gift for you if you're worshiping with us in person. If you're worshiping with us online, there's a bit.ly link that you see on your screen right now. And we just follow that. And again, just a few points of information. We just want to connect with you, just want to learn about you and find out how you heard about us and just get you connected here at Calvary Gospel. Amen. We love to worship with our giving. There's many opportunities, many ways to give. You should have seen the offering boxes, the new offering boxes that are posted at each entrance way, and you can plop your offering right into those. You can go to our website. You can mail it in. You can go on the church app, Church Center app, and give right through there. Lots of opportunities to give. With that, we are going to have a promotion this morning for our quizzing ministry, and if we can go ahead and play that video and get started with that.
Praise the Lord, church. How are we doing this fine Sunday? That's good. As some of you may know, I'm the one and only Seth Merkus. And I'm here to give voice to my Bible quizzing experience.
Thank you very much.
So, I've quizzed for a total of 12 years, and I don't regret any of it. There are so many favorite verses that I have throughout the week that I take all of pastor's time preaching today. So I'll just give you the one, my favorite ones from this year. They are Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. I can remember them. For we ourselves also are sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his own mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yeah, give him a hand clap for that one. This should remind us all of the lengths that God went to get us to heaven. There are also too many people to butter up given my time restriction, so I'll just name off a few. Spencer Hicks, Justin Wall, Perry Hicks, Jacob and Alyssa Zimmerman, Chris Zimmerman, my mom, who also just happens to be the best mom here. Sorry, other moms, not sorry. And my dad. All these people played an instrumental role in my career. One of my fondest memories of Bible quizzing was competing in Orlando, Florida for a quiz tournament. This was by far my favorite tournament to participate in out of, I think, all 12 years of my quizzing. And it was the highlight of my last year. And there was also my voyage to and from state finals. I took the long way home, and I saw a lot of awesome things in I wouldn't regret doing it again. There were also plenty of other great experiences, or once in a great while opportunities that I experienced, and I would do them again in a heartbeat. About 20 minutes before my last quiz, I was hanging out by myself and doing a little bit of studying since I was severely underprepared. And I also looked back and at all of my experiences, opportunities, and memories, and I told myself out loud, literally, I was like, yeah, all of this was worth it. Every single hour, all of the being yelled at by my mom to do my quizzing, all of the problems that I went through, all of the opposition, it's all worth the effort. All right, based on all that I've said so far, you can conclude I got a lot out of quizzing. But it's not just me, though. Countless other people, like myself, like the youth group, like the little kids here, have had their lives impacted and changed and altered forever by junior and senior Bible quizzing. We literally have no excuse to say, I can't do it, besides the excuse of, I'm not willing to invest my time into the kingdom of God. And even if you're like me and just out of quizzing, there's still no excuse for you, because you can invest in other people. You can invest in other kids by being a coach or helping them learn scripture, which is really, really valuable. Talk to Martha about signing up for junior Bible quizzing. Junior Bible quizzing is for ages 6 to 11. And talk to Chris Zimmerman if you want to sign up for senior Bible quizzing. That's for ages 12 to 18. You got to try it. If you don't do it, you just got to try it. If it's not for you, whatever, you won't regret trying it. It's well worth the investment, especially since a guy named Roman talked about that there's not much time to waste. So thank you very much. God bless you all. Have a great rest of your day.
First of all, I want to say, Seth, you are a treasure. Thank you so much for all of the years that you have invested in Bible quizzing. Your heart and your attitude is an encouragement. So if you were ever a Bible quizzer, could you please stand? Any length of time that you were a Bible quizzer, if you were a Bible quizzer, please stand. That's excellent. I just wanted everyone to see how Bible quizzing has impacted Calvary Gospel Church, our Calvary Gospel Church family. In 2023, the quizzers learned the epistles. Seniors topped out at over 500 verses that they had to memorize. That's a lot. So I want to recognize our 2023 quizzers. If you could please stand when I call your name, and we'll hold our applause until the end. In the experience division, we had Seth and Luke Merkus. And then in the junior division, we had Aaron and Livy and Bella Wall. Livy and Bella qualified for the national tournament in Branson in July, where they quiz against the best of the best in the country, and they won 3 quizzes. So if we could just clap for all of these kids who invested so much time. Now we are memorizing. You can be seated. Now we are memorizing for the 2024 season. Our material is Acts, incredible verses about our church history. And I want to introduce to you the 2024 team. So far, we have 13 quizzers, and we're very excited about that. Again, please stand as I call your name, and we'll hold our applause until the end. So in the Stolp family, we have all 4 of them: Philip, Henry, Gilbert, and William. The Stones are represented by Joe and Stella. We have Zimmermans represented by Cammie and Aaron. And in the Wall family, we have Olivia, Bella, and Judah this year. In the Merkus family, we have Luke. And then we have a new quizzer from Voces Unidas, Elliot Carrillo. So we're really excited about that. Can we make some noise for this team? But it's still early in the year. We're still just memorizing. If you are interested, come to our org meeting. I think it's up there. Yep. Friday from 6:45 to 7:45 in the old library across the way. Or see Tara Price back there in the sound booth, Chris Zimmerman, Jacob, or Alyssa, or myself. And then I just wanted to make mention of another opportunity that Phil talked about a little bit this morning. Thank you so much. This is mostly for the younger crowd. It's learning verses on a much smaller level. It's pretty easy. Memorize a verse, quote it to me, send me a video, and get a cookie. Kind of a sweet deal. And you're giving yourself a gift that will last as long as you do. Just a few notes on this, though. The ABC song is not in the Bible. Also, you can't make up your own verses, no matter how great they sound. Right, Gideon? And finally, you can't quote a verse more than once for a cookie. Right, Rowan? Thank you so much for your support of Bible quizzing over the years. In prayer, giving. Also, if you would like to be a Bible quizzing encourager, we need those too. But my time is up, so see me if you're interested. Thank you so much.
Amen. Let's give Martha and her team a hand clap for all the hard work they are doing. Amen. We appreciate this vital ministry. Amen. Just a couple quick announcements. Who is thinking about Christmas already? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, Children's Ministry is also thinking about it already, and that is because they're going to be doing a Christmas play again this year on December 17th. And practice starts... not in November, starts this coming Wednesday. That's right. So all kids who are ages in grades kindergarten through sixth grade, if you're interested, please make plans to be here. Parents, please be mindful of that. We will have some sort of check-in system, maybe not as elaborate. Got to figure that out by Wednesday. But that'll be in the fellowship hall. And Kids Rages and 117, 118. So please, parents, make plans this Wednesday, and you'll be blessed by the preaching of the word as well. Also, for children's ministry, mentioned this in the Sunday school hour, but we are in need, desperate need for teachers for children's ministry, whether it's a full-time teacher, which is pretty much twice a month only, or a backup teacher in case of sickness, etc. If you are interested, you can go to the Church Center app, and you can register there or apply right there. It says something about volunteering. Or you can see Brandon and Arian, Matt, for more details, more information about what that all looks like. But again, there's due to teacher shortages, folks, parents, you noticed this morning there's no three-year-old class. Also next Sunday, there will be no three-year-old class, so keep that in mind. But we need teachers, and so this is a place to get plugged in. We want to get plugged in. Amen. With that, if you would stand with me, we want to go before the Lord in prayer. Several needs here this morning. Sister Bev Uselman had a mini stroke and is at home and is resting. But we want to pray for her. This is Dennis, Dennis's mom. We also want to pray for Rico Farrell's dad. His name is James. He is in the ER. Rico took him there. And so we want to pray for him. And finally, we want to pray for the Bakken family who lost Dax Bakken. He was competing in an Ironman competition and unfortunately passed away. And so we want to pray for the Bakken family during this time of loss. And I know there's been many losses here. Continue to pray for Sister Hawk. Continue to pray for Victoria and the family and extended family. It's a hard time, but we're excited about what God can do in our lives, how he can undergird us and bring us strength. That's what the Bible says, peace that passes all understanding. We're looking forward to offering some classes to help with this little plug that Pastor will talk about, I'm sure. But we're excited to what God can do. Amen. We have hope in Jesus. Amen. Amen. So let's go before the Lord in prayer today. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, so much for your goodness. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your touch, Lord, even in the midst of the storm, in the midst of hard times, Lord Jesus, God. We pray, God, that you cover the Bakken family, Lord God, with peace. We pray you cover them with comfort, Lord, during this time, a tragic loss, Lord, of a nephew, Lord God. God, I pray you touch them, Lord Jesus, God. Lord, undergird their family. Touch Sister Nelson, Lord. Send a family. Lord God, we pray, Lord God, for the Hawk family. Lord God, the Smith family, Lord Jesus, in their time of grieving, God. We pray, Lord Jesus, God, for Bev Uselman, God. Heal her, Lord God. Let everything, any complications would just be, Lord, completely touched right now in this aftermath of the mini stroke, God. She completely made whole, God, we pray. Lord Jesus, heal her, Lord God. We also pray for Rico's, Farrell's dad, Lord God. James, God, Lord, in the ER right now, God. You know exactly, Lord, the situation, what's going on in his body. We pray you touch him, heal him, Lord Jesus. Strengthen Brother Rico, Lord God, this morning, God, I pray. We're so thankful, we're so grateful that we have you, Lord, we can call upon, that you undergird us with your strength, with your hand, you hold us, God. I pray, God, minister through the preaching of your word this morning. We thank you, Lord Jesus, in advance for what you're doing. Lord, minister to every need in this house, God. Let's give him a hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, as we go into worship this morning. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Lord, we are here.
changes. Everything changes when your kingdom comes. Let your kingdom come. The earth is shaking. Chains are breaking as your kingdom comes. Let your kingdom.
Church, such a beautiful, beautiful presence in the house of the Lord today. We are excited. Thank you to our worship team. Brother Phil did an amazing job in our Bible lesson this morning. So you can be seated this morning. This Wednesday evening, as many of you probably keeping track of or aware of, this past year we've lost a number of awesome saints of God here at Calvary. And just also go past the, I think my wife and I, we counted it up, in the last 10 years of ministry here, we've had 28 funerals. And something it's life. Life happens. It's a reality of life. We can't stop it. Can't stop aging. But what we're looking to do is just to help out a lot of you that are struggling in this area. This Wednesday night, Sister Nicole Solberg, I've asked her to speak. And she works for a Grace Services, and they do a wonderful, wonderful job helping families understand the grief process. So we're going to have just a one-night session on how to help navigate, as well as maybe you haven't lost someone, but you have a friend that did. How can you help them through a situation like this? So it'll be very, very instrumental. It'll be more like a seminar type of an evening. It won't be a Bible study per se, but it'll be a lot of good information. And then we're going to follow that up with Brother Ben Thompson. If Brother Ben could stand and Sister Lori Merkus could stand. They're going to be starting 1st of October a grief class that we're going to offer to all of our members, as well as to folks outside of the church. We'll promote this on our Facebook and on our website and such. But we only have slots for 15 people. So if you are interested in taking a grief class, it's Grief Share. Brother Ben or Sister Lori, you can talk with them after church, and they'll be able to take and get you on the sign up and get you, make sure that you have your materials and things like that. So this is something I feel is very important, and I think it's something that would be beneficial to a lot of our families that are going through and struggling with these particular areas. So God bless you. You can be seated. Thank you so very much, Brother Ben, Sister Lori, for offering to do this. And we're just want to help. And it's a very, very difficult time. A lot of emotions that go through the loss of a loved one. And we want to be able to assist you in any way that we can. I want to take for a few moments here tonight, and I want to just kind of preach. I do a lot of Bible lessons. I do a lot of series. My wife and I will be speaking next Sunday. We'll be at Brother Lomax's church, Word of Life, off of Mendota Street. We'll be ministering there as one of their speakers for their Sunday. It's their five-year anniversary services. So remember, Brother and Sister Lomax, they've attended here for 2 years before they started their church, planted their church. But they're very apostolic in doctrine. And we meet with them quite often, have lunch and such with and fellowship with them. So we'll be there, and then we'll be leaving right after that, going up to camp for a full week of work week, and then we're going to take and sneak in a little bit of a vacation at the end of that. So you won't be, I won't be speaking here for a few weeks. I'll be missing a few, but we have an awesome staff that's going to be able to take care of things while we are gone. But we're going to take, and this is something, a message that's been on my heart for a long time, and sometimes you just struggle with the timing and such, but God just says, this is the day, this is the time. A number of years ago, my wife Lois and I, we made a trip to Arizona. And we tried to take a two-week spring and a two-week fall vacation, and this was one of our fall vacations, a little later than normal. It was in mid-October, and we'd never been to the Grand Canyon, so we wanted to go to the Grand Canyon. We wanted to take and see some of the sights, so we ended up in Arizona. And as we do on a lot of our trips, we have a little Jeep that we just kind of putz around in, and we pack a lunch, and we head out for the day, and just wherever the day takes us, that's where we go. We do a lot of rambling when we're on vacation, and we had ran into a park ranger at a park, and he had told us about this absolutely beautiful 120-foot waterfall, but you have to take about a 5-mile hike to get there. I talked with my wife, and we talked it over, and we got some maps from the forest station. We packed us a picnic lunch, something that we could have plenty of snacks and juices and drinks in, and we put them in our backpack, and we headed out on this five-mile journey through the wilderness of Arizona. No one was around. We never ran into another person. The hiking trail was in a big, huge circle, so you had to kind of go through half of the circle, and we took our breaks and drank water and enjoyed the sights and the sounds of the Arizona wilderness. We got closer and closer and closer, and we could see off in the distance the large cliff, and expecting at any moment to be able to hear water as it cascaded over and dropped down 120 foot. We got closer and closer, and we didn't hear any sounds. We didn't hear any water. We finally got to where the creek was, or the small river was, that flowed over, and you could see that at one time there was a lot of water that went over that cliff. But it just happened to be our luck that we chose this day to go view this beautiful waterfall, one of a rarity in Arizona, only to find out when we got there that the creek had run dry. Any of you ever been in a situation like that? So we're going to preach for a few moments this morning. What do you do when your creek runs dry? We're going to start off our message tonight from 1 Kings, or this afternoon from 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 7 in the King James. And it's, "And Elisha the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, whom before I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Go thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, which is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went, and he did according to the word of the Lord, and he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, which is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass, after a while, that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land." Now, this is a unique story. And unlike most other Bible prophets, the scripture doesn't give us a whole lot of information about Elijah's background. Some of the other prophets of the Old Testament, we hear of them as a child and as they grow up, and you're able to take and get little bits and pieces of their lives, and you can put together timelines. But Elijah, we don't know much about him other than he was a Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead. The Tishbites, if you could imagine, if I could put a picture to them, were rough, rugged settlers of their day. If I could look at someone that would fit into that category, I would think of someone in the Old West, perhaps a mountain man, someone that was used to the ruggedness of life, someone that lived off the land, someone that was rugged in their temperament, and this kind of fit Elisha to a T. Elisha was called by God to be a prophet in a very difficult time in the history of Israel. We find for almost 300 years the people of Israel had lived under three really awesome great kings. We've talked about three of those kings, or of those three kings. We've talked about Saul in our morning Bible lesson. We've talked about David, and this morning we talked about Solomon. But after Solomon's death,
the nation of Israel, a civil war had broke out, and what was once a strong nation was now divided into two various kingdoms. You had Judah, which was the southern kingdom, and Jehoshaphat became the king of Judah. And then you have Israel, which was the northern kingdom, and the northern kingdom had a history of having ruthless, godless, crude ruling kings. And Ahab was the king of the northern kingdoms of Israel. And it was Ahab who was in power when God called Elijah to be his prophet and his voice in the nation of Israel. And he had delivered the message to Ahab that God had given him, and his message was direct and it was to the point. He says, Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth. Remember, the Lord God of Israel had no ending and had no beginning and has no ending. So as the Lord God of Israel live, whom before I stand, it's not going to rain or any dew in the land for these years according to my word. In essence, he was telling Ahab to get ready that a drought is coming to the land. The reservoirs are going to be empty, Ahab. The wells are going to dry up, Ahab. The crops are going to wither and die. There'll be no water to irrigate your fields. The streams and the creeks are all going to vanish. There's going to be no grapes in your vineyards. And there will be a severe hardship in the land. And this drought is being sent by none other than God himself. You see, there comes a point in time, church, and we understand this, that God sometimes uses other nations to take and fulfill his judgment, and sometimes God uses the powers and the forces of nature. Here, God chose a drought, and this is the message. Listen to me, he says, King, listen to me. There will be no water in all the land for a space of 3 years. Now, you can imagine Ahab not being a godly man. He took, and what did he do when he heard this? He got mad at the prophet. And he began to blame the prophet. And he calls the prophet a troublemaker for Israel. And the funny thing is that it was Ahab who was the troublemaker. It was Ahab and his wife Jezebel who were the troublemakers in Israel. Understand something, there was a link and a tie between Ahab and Jehoshaphat. Because Jehoshaphat's son had married Ahab's daughter. So we have a direct correlation or relation between the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And here we have Jehoshaphat seemingly living free of the judgments of God, and you have Ahab that is facing a severe drought because of the judgments of God. Sometimes as people, as a pastor, sometimes we deal with some of these very same issues. You have people sitting next to each other on the same pew, and maybe one person, perhaps their family, is experiencing great surplus and bountiful blessing, and another family is going through, perhaps you would call it, a drought of sorts. I have this happen from time to time, and how we deal with some things now is we like to blame other people. Here Ahab says, this is all your fault, Elijah. I'm going to blame this on you, and I'm going to make sure that all of the people in Israel understand and know that you are the cause of this drought. We deal with some of the same things now. I have a problem, Pastor. And guess what, Pastor? You're the problem. After this warning, Elijah gave to Ahab, God spoke to Elijah. God says to him, Ahab is going to be a problem for you, Elijah. There's going to be people suffering because of this drought. They're going to be upset with you. They're going to blame you. It's not your fault, but your life is going to be in danger. And I got a perfect spot to where I'm going to allow you to hide out while this drought goes on in Israel. He says, you better go down to the brook at Cherith, and you will find safety there. Now, you can read that story in 1 Kings 17, 1 through 7. You can read some of the detail. It's a good story to read to your children. No sooner had Elijah spoke to Ahab on behalf of God than God told his prophet to get out of town. Get your stuff, Elijah, get you to travel lightly because you are taking a trip. I'm going to get you out of here. He was to go down to Jericho, about 45 miles to the south. That would be like saying, head down to Janesville. Head down to Beloit. Head up to the Dells. I got a place for you. So he headed out and he headed down and he went to the east side of Jordan, to a brook named or called Cherith, which is now in what I believe is modern-day Jordan. There are two reasons for his departure. First, it was to fulfill the prophecy that God had in the lives of the king and of the people of Israel. And also, it was to strengthen Elijah's faith in God, who is going to now be able to provide everything that he needs in time of drought. At this point in his life, as well as many of our lives, we want to say to God, well, God, how are you going to do all of this? Many times we've been asked to do various things that God has called us into various ministries, and it puts stress or taxes us, maybe financially and other ways in our lives, and we struggle to trust in God. But you see, God was not just taking and dealing with a stubborn, stiff-necked king and people that were backslidden. God was also using this opportunity to teach and to deal with and strengthen the position of his prophet. You see, God is going to provide for you through whatever you're going through, at whatever time you're going through it. God will provide, but we have to trust in God's plan. And that's where we run into trouble so many times, because we always try to figure out some things on our own. Are you one of those people that try to always figure out things on your own? I will tell you, I am one of those people that when God says do something, I immediately begin to think, how can I do this? And many times in my life in the past, Brother Dennis, I've outran God trying to figure out what God wants me to do. And God sometimes just says, sit down, wait, and be patient. So here we find Elijah, totally out of his element, living in the woods, living at a creek based out of a cave, and he's drinking the waters of the creek at Cherith. As someone said, once said, that the one predictable characteristic of God is that he's unpredictable. We serve a God that is faithful. We serve a God that is loving. We serve a God that is kind. And we love to say he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But he can be very unpredictable in yesterday, today, and forever. Can you get amen that? You see, this was a challenge to the old prophet's faith, because you see, he was a Hebrew. He was of a Jewish descent. And the raven was considered an unclean animal. And he was going to be fed every day through the beak of something that was deemed as unclean. Sometimes when God maneuvers and works in our lives, he does things, as we say, in an unpredictable or an odd manner. And God used a raven to take and feed the prophet. There will be times in our lives and in our ministries that God will perhaps use an unorthodox way in which he will deal with us or he will work with us. And as time wore on, Elijah was safe and far from his enemies. And as God dealt with his enemies, Elijah began to notice something that was very disturbing to him, to say the least. As he went out every day, no doubt to get his water from the brook, he noticed that the water in the creek was slowly but surely disappearing. His life source was dwindling. His prophetic words that he spoke to the wicked King Ahab were coming home to roost on his own doorstep. We understand the scripture that it rains on the just and on the unjust, and we quote that many times in our lives, but what had been a deep flowing stream, now it had slowed to just barely but a trickle. Then one morning, no doubt he got up after a good night's rest. Perhaps he had his morning devotions and he sat there and decided that I'm going to go get something to drink. And he goes up to the creek. Oh, that felt good. I needed that. He goes up to the creek and you know what? There was no water in it. It was dry. Perhaps he turned over a few rocks thinking that there's got to be a little bit of a puddle somewhere, and he began to walk up and down the creek, and there was no water to be found. Now, if we go back to Israel, Ahab and Jezebel, understand, had set up one of the most godless governments that the nation of Israel had ever known. That strayed so far from David and from Solomon, from the beginning of where God had planned for them. They had strayed so far, and they had walked away, and they had decided that they didn't want to follow after the God of Israel. They began to build temples all over instead of temples and synagogues to worship Jehovah, the one true God. They were now worshiping the prophet Baal, and Jezebel, his wicked wife, had recruited an army of false prophets. We have to understand, everything that God has, Satan has some sort of a counterfeit. God has Elijah and Elisha and his prophets, and Jezebel, the enemy, the devil, has his army of false prophets. And the nation that was spiritually dry, they were spiritually dry and dead. So as a result of being spiritually dry, God allowed them to become physically dry. Understand this principle, church, because this is exactly where our nation is headed. This is where our world is headed to. We are a nation that has become spiritually dry, and God is going to allow the creek that has fed us to dry up. Whenever God is not the life of the countries or the government of the countries, that nation is spiritually dry. We love to take and we love to quote that we are one nation under God. It's actually on our money, and we see it all in public buildings, but we are far from one nation under God. We are becoming as a divided kingdom, as Israel and Judah had come. And wherever godless people pursue godless paths and seek to pervert and destroy the plans and purposes of God, the nation is spiritually dry, and we understand the reason for the drought. God was trying to get a nation's attention. He was also trying to get a king's attention. We understand the reason for the drought, but why would Elijah, God's prophet, why would the church, God's called out chosen people, have to experience the same drought? Elijah had said exactly what God had told him to say, and he was where God had told him to be. He never, ever did anything that was outside of what God specifically requested and asked him to do. Now, don't you think that it would be strange to proclaim that there's going to be a drought coming to the country, and then you turn around and in a few years you become victim of that same drought? You see, since God had sent Elijah to the creek, why did God allow Elijah's creek to run dry? Do you ever ask yourself and wonder that question? Why does a creek run dry for those who are serving God or are God's children? You see, the creek was God's plan and his idea in the first place. It wasn't the idea of Elijah. Elijah didn't say, well, God, you know, down in Jordan, this prophecy is for the nation of Israel. Why can't I go to Judah? God didn't allow him to go to Judah. God sent him south. So the creek was God's idea. So what do you do when all of your resources seem to be gone? What do you do when your creek runs dry? You see, there are those here today, perhaps, that have seen their creeks run dry. Maybe your business has failed or is on the teeter or the brink of failing. Then your creek has run or running dry. Maybe you've lost meaning and direction in your life and you're struggling in every aspect of life. Then your creek has run dry. Maybe there are other things that are more important than just church, and church is becoming an afterthought, or I'll catch it online because I've got stuff to do today. Then your creek has run dry. You see, whenever you used to put joy, and there used to be joy in your heart, and there used to be a smile on your face, and that no longer does the trick, when you come to church and you try to worship and there's nothing there and you walk out the same way you came in, then perhaps your creek has run dry. Whatever all your past blessings perhaps seem to have turned into curses, just maybe today your creek has run dry. When your prayers become repetition and you go away empty, then your creek has run dry. And you can go for days and days and weeks and never open up the Word of God. You cannot remember the last time, perhaps, that you've come to an altar to pray a prayer of repentance. You see, it was important for us to remember that the creek for Elijah was a hiding place. It was a place of refuge. It was a place of comfort. And when we do God's will, understand, God will provide for us a hiding place. God's word tells us that Moses fled to Midian from the wrath of the Egyptians, and for 40 years he was on the backside of the hills in the land of Midian, and God, that was his provision, that was a hiding place. John, on the Isle of Patmos, instead of being killed, he escaped death, and he was exiled to an Isle of Patmos. And even though he was exiled, it was a hiding place, a place of protection. And when God gives you a hiding place, you can be positive that that will be a peaceful and a safe hiding place. And the creek that God provides and God provided for Elijah was a hiding place. But we're still faced with the question is, what do we do when that creek begins to dry or dries up? Understand something. And it will force you and I to a source or a point of acknowledgement. We have to ask ourselves, who provided the creek in the first place? See, don't you imagine that Elijah would become rather comfortable with his little resort in the wilderness while the rest of the nation is going through a severe drought? And God was providing for him every day. He probably thought to himself, this drought thing is not so bad after all. I've got water. I've got a bird that brings me meat and brings me bread every day. It's not so bad. I don't have to worry about Ahab. I don't have to worry about Jezebel. I don't have to worry about fearing for my life. I don't have to worry about the nation of Israel. Everywhere I go, they want to take and they want to stone me to death. You see, he enjoyed the flowing creek, and he expected that would always be there. But Matthew 5:45 tells us that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, but as he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, he sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. And Elijah was not going to be spared from the drought forever. See, church, we have to understand something. We live in this world. We're not of this world, but we live in this world. So what that means is when we need gas, we have to go to Quick Trip. We have to live in the world. The world is around us. We're immersed in it every day of our lives. So God was providing for him every day, and he thought, this isn't so bad. He enjoyed the flowing creek. We live in a world of sin, church, and we're not immune from the effects of the sin and cherries flowing with water don't last forever. One day, this creek, hear me now, one day, this creek of blessings that this nation is living by is going to dry up. The creek that God provides. You see, what's your creek this morning? What's your Cherith? Maybe your Cherith is your bank account. Maybe it's your family, it's your home. Here God supplies food and he supplies bread. But one day, the creek dried up. One day, the raven stopped coming. He went to get something to drink. There was nothing there left. The only thing left that Elijah had was God. He lost his food. He lost his water. Now he has one thing left, and that is God. But an important note, an important lesson that we can learn here, Elijah didn't cry or pout. We don't find any record, Brother Brunker, of him getting up in the morning when the creek was dry. He laid down on his face and began to wail before God, start complaining that, God, you sent me out here, and now all of a sudden everything's falling apart on me, because that's what most times our human nature wants to do. He knew something was up, and he knew that there was something. If God had sent him there, listen to me here. If God sends you somewhere and things begin to fall apart and dry up, it only means that God has something else for you. God didn't just leave him there to fend for himself. I'm sure that he knew that something was better to come. But we have to understand the problem with these bubbly little creeks and these little paradises is that we can get real comfortable and we stay by the creek too long, and we may love the creek more than we love the God who gave it to us. And all of Elijah's security vanished in one day's time. You see, the lesson that we all can learn here is you don't miss the water until it's not there. You don't miss the blessings until you've lost them. And whatever the creek is in your life, you had better thank God for it. We read in the book of Job, and I'm wrapping this up. We read in the book of Job, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we will take nothing out of it. You see, the God who made the creek can also dry it up. Many who have seen their creeks run dry panic in the process. The future looks bleak. What are we going to do? You see, it's real easy to have faith in God when your bank account is full and the money's rolling in, when times of prosperity flow. But what happens when all of that stops? You see, the message that God is trying to tell us here is that when your creek runs dry, don't panic. Sometimes our creek runs dry to remind us that God is still in charge of the water. If you don't believe he's in charge of the water, he controls the resources in our lives. We have blessings because God gives us those blessings. He created the water. It is his water. It is his creek. You see, when Elijah's creek ran dry, God was still going to provide for him. What did God say? He said, Elijah, pack your bags, get ready. It's time to move. God moved him all the way from the nation of what is now Georgia or Jordan, all the way across southern Israel, northern Judah, all the way into the nation of Syria. And God told him that there's a widow in the nation, in the city, and you go find this widow. She doesn't have much. She's used up all of her food. She doesn't have a husband. She just has a small boy. And you will find her by the city gate gathering sticks for firewood. But she has a handful of meal. She has a little jug of oil. And Elijah, that's all you're going to need to endure the remaining time of the drought. Leave your creek and go, because I have a blessing. I have a blessing waiting for you over there. But you have to go to get it. Leave your misery here. I have a miracle for you over there. And God just might this morning be letting your creek run dry so that you have a testimony, so you have a miracle in your life. If you never have a creek that runs dry in your life, then you will never, ever be able to realize what God has been doing for you all along. So often we forget the blessings of God when we're faced with some kind of a trial. If you could stand at your feet this morning, I love reading Psalms. Brother Phil mentioned Psalms 51 this morning, which is a very, very good read. But Psalms 103, David reminds us, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. This is being penned by a man who spent the bulk of his younger years running, fleeing for his life from a king that was seeking to kill him, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. He was no doubt thinking about sending Bathsheba's husband into battle to get him killed so he could hide his sin. He says, forgive all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth my mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Listen, church, we're going to be in 2024 before we know it. September is, can you believe we're over halfway through now, the month of September almost. It'll be October, November, December. Won't be long, and we'll be shoveling snow instead of mowing grass for the last time. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. It's going to come. Times, life is going to change. Our world is going to continue to change. I remember years ago, I preached the message, before it gets worse, it's going to get worse. We're facing some difficult days ahead, not just as a nation, but as a world, because the Bible tells us that the closer we get to the end, the more perilous the times are going to come. And there may come a time when our creek dries up. There may come a time when hardship comes to Calvary Gospel Church. There may come a time where your business, where the phone used to ring off the hook, it seldom rings anymore because no one has the funds for the services that you provide. But we have to trust God and His guidance as we follow after Him, because our purpose will always be the same. Our purpose. He will take us places, church, that we had never imagined, and He has more blessings in store for us if we follow in His footsteps. So where are we at today? How does this come home to where we are sitting here this afternoon? Are we sitting comfortably alongside of a creek, enjoying the blessings of God, and every time enjoy the time of praise and what He's doing in our lives? But we must realize that there will come a time when God, as it rains on the just and the unjust, as there's famine for the unjust and for the just, we will be faced, or we perhaps will face, an uncertain future. But see, understand something. This is not to punish us. It's not to spite us. But it's to strengthen us and use us to fulfill His purpose for our lives. Yes, we may be living by a beautiful little creek today, a drought may come tomorrow, and we must follow after God in all times and in all circumstances and in all places. We can choose to obey Him and be blessed, or we can choose to complain and dry up along with our creek. See, God sent him to a widow's house. She didn't have an abundance of groceries. She had just enough for one more meal. And the whole time he was there, she had just enough for one more meal. So, church, you may say, Pastor, where are you getting at all of this?
Our nation, our world is in a severe spiritual drought. And we have to be the voice. Perhaps maybe your life is in a severe spiritual drought this morning. Or maybe your creek has dried up and you're doing everything that God has asked you to do and you don't know what's next. Just follow His voice, because He will lead you. And wherever He leads you, there will be provision when you get there. Doesn't matter what's happened in the past. Just keep following after God. And as our worship team begins to lead us into worship this morning, I want to open up this altar area up front. If you find yourself in any one of these categories, I just want you to come and say, Lord, I need to trust in You more. I need to follow You more. Help me, Lord, through this. Perhaps your family is struggling and you're going through a real dry period. I just want to encourage you this morning to just sit down and talk with God. Say, God, I didn't see this coming. I'm doing everything that You've asked me to do. I'm trying to be faithful. I didn't picture myself to be in this situation. God's got you right where you're supposed to be. Just trust Him. God bless you this morning.
Water is coming to the thirsty. Though you are empty, I am the will. Draw from me, I will provide. This is the word, this is the word of the Lord, your creation. Sing.
again, church. Just remember a couple little points to take home with you. If your creek's running dry this morning, if you are in God's will and you know God sent you there, He may be just trying to move you because you become too comfortable. And He's trying to move you somewhere else to where He can use you. And He has a miracle waiting for you, wherever that somewhere else may be. So, God bless you. You have a blessed week. Thank you to our worship team today. Awesome job. God bless you. And we will see you back here Wednesday evening. We will be having a Sister Nicole Solberg will be speaking. And please come. And you may say, well, I don't really need that. But you may know someone that does need it. Or you may run into someone that does need it. So God bless you. Have a blessed day. It's a beautiful day out there today. Enjoy. God bless.